PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me once again is the one of the legends in the putter industry. His name is Sean Toulon, founder of Toulon Golf. Welcome back, Sean.
Nice to be with you, Dan.
You know, I always get excited when I send you an email and say you want to chat, and you always say, heck yeah, I do. I'd love to. It always surprises me.
Oh, are you kidding? Yeah. I love talking about what we're so lucky to be able to do. Huh? It's pretty crazy. So anytime I can get in front of you and your audience, it's exciting for us. So thanks for having us.
Well, fortunately for you, my audience is a bunch of crazy lunatic fringe putter goofballs who love to experiment. So they'll be fascinated to hear your feedback today. But the last time we had you on the show, Toulon was relatively renewed in the industry. It you know, starting to find its own life again and going in the path that you and the boys are super excited about. But it also gives us a lot to chew on in this episode and talk about, because we have seen a lot of things come to fruition, ideas get cultivated and brought to the forefront. And you know, this week's going to be no exception. We're actually recording week prior to, but once this episode is aired, the Valhalla small batch will be released into the wild, if you will. So,
right.
So can you give us a little bit of a short story on how things have gone so far for you guys, and whether or not it's sort of gone to plan or things have shifted a bit?
Yeah. One, I would say things have shifted a bit, which they always do, which was, you know, we knew. The challenging part is you never know which parts are going to shift. So if we look at, and I think when we talked, Dan, I had forwarded you our deck and of our dreams and aspirations and what we were trying to really accomplish and what we thought our mission could be. And I would say that deck is not maybe totally intact, but very close to it. So that part of it has been great. The response to what we've actually launched into the marketplace, not just here, but around the world, has been awesome. And I would say has exceeded our expectations by a fairly healthy margin. So knock on wood, that's been really cool. And there's, I think, been some reasons for why we've had the early success, but which we can get into. But I would say the small batch part of our business and the just the creation of these really cool short run products has been awesome. And the collection part has been really, really cool. A lot of the other little things that I had in there, in that initial plan outside of putters, we've taken our time to go slow. But if I open this drawer right here, I could show you some of those things. And they're very, very cool. We just have to figure out the right time to launch them.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting with you because you rarely set the bar anywhere other than high. So, you know, it seemed like you had some pretty lofty goals at the forefront, but you know, Toulon had already set a relatively clear standard on quality with the collaborations with Odyssey. So I think there was that hit the ground moving, but you were already kind of moving type of feel to it.
Yep.
But it's also allowed you to cultivate into the ideas that have come today, which would be small batch. So I'm going to try something just a hair different today.
All right.
Since we are on video. I'm going to throw up some images here on the screen. And listen, you already know what they are. You've seen them. It's the collection of small batch. For those who are listening, we're sort of wandering through the collection of small batch options that have already come to the wild. We've got the early Dogwood, Montecito, Vista, Sea Island, Santa Monica, Latrobe, Texas, Carbonetti, and obviously not yet on the website is Valhalla. Sean, what I think is fascinating about this is your willingness to explore. We have different finishes, different head shapes, different milling patterns, there doesn't seem to be a stone unturned on the creativity side, including collaborations here like Carbonetti, which we've seen in the past, but you've done it in another refined way. So I guess the question early on here is, how much fun is it to explore in a way that you can actually share with the public? And I remember back when I was hanging out with you in your office a couple years ago, you'd be like, oh, check this out. It's like a finish I'd never seen or a milling pattern I'd never seen. And those never really seemed to come to the table for us to secure as end users. So right. Now that we're seeing this, in multiple forms and in a fashion that we actually can get our hands on, does that feel good for you? Is that exciting?
Oh, it's the best. And you know, the really cool thing about now being independent is, and so I don't know if everybody can see this, but Montecito, for me is, I think that's the shining star here. That putter is pretty controversial with the way it looks, right? So, you know, it's the one with all the stars on top of it. And you know, it's just a beautiful, classic, old school milled putter thought, right? But taking that to a big, big brand and saying, hey, we're going to do this. It's like, you're going to do what? And a lot of these things, the volumes are so low that, you know, for, you know, a company that does $2 billion, it's like, well, why would we spend our time on that? Right. Mm-hmm. But for us, it's what we get to do. And really the reason why we did this. And small batch for us is the absolute foundation of what we stand for. And you know, where we can dream and we can wonder and we can be curious and we can say, what the heck, why not try it, right? And we don't really have to follow any rules. I mean, here's a perfect example. Look at the logo in the back of Sea Island. That's a script logo that we just hand sketched and said, well, that looks cool. Yeah, great, let's try it. Right. So there's just so many different things that we can do, and we don't really need to ask permission. Right. So this is all about exercising the creative side of your brain. And then from there, learn. And, some of these things can end up in our collection series.
Well, the Sea Island is an interesting example because it's one of the most visually polarizing putters you probably released to this point. It's this gorgeous, dark, deep blue that just, I mean, I've had the good fortune of rolling one. Our good buddy James Miles is, I believe, his most prized possession at this point. Happens to have one in play, and I got to see it, and I was surprised at how subtle the blue can be and how much it can pop at some time. So, tell me about the decision to jump around between black and these bronze or your standard satin finish. What's that like when you land on a small batch and say, this is where I want to go with it?
Yeah, it's so much of it really depends on the putter, right? So Santa Monica, that's sort of been a small batch staple. I think we've done it two or three different times, always in a different finish. But to go with the Tour Silver, you know, that's the shape that Tiger really made the most famous, right? And it's our rendition of it. And there's lots of things about that putter that's in this one, but then things that are not. So for us, you know, that finish is just kind of a natural for that putter. If you look at Latrobe, which Arnold helped Wilson design back in 1964, when that putter came out, it was really only done in a satin finish, and it was either chrome or black. Most of them were chrome with a satin, some were black. So, you know, if you're, that was just something that's cool and probably a story most people don't know. So for us to do sort of a frosted midnight black, that was just kind of cool, right? Mm-hmm. Texas is, I think, just a really beautiful story honoring six legends of Texas golf. And when you really dig into what's happened, what the talent that has come out of Texas, it's like that thing that's been going on the internet. You know, why do some people live? Where do people live to over 100 years old? And it's like, well, the in golf, where do the best players typically come from? And more have come from Texas than anywhere, right? So for us to be able to capture that in a product, I think would be really cool. And, you know, our Texas design is parts of a LaGrange and parts of an Austin and parts of things that we've done kind of reconfigured. It's cool. Anyways, that one became black because it just seemed like that one needed to be really serious. So,
well, let's celebrate the latest version or the latest small batch release, which is Valhalla. People get their first looks here. You've sort of teased it on social at this point. People have a fairly good idea what's coming.
Yeah.
But I'm fortunate enough to get these emails from Preston that describes what the goal is. And, you know, obviously when you get to the website and you start looking at it, you get that backstory. But my favorite thing to do is to look at the pictures first and try and guess a couple of the decisions that are made. And right. I'll tell you what, Sean, as soon as I saw this finish, I thought, oh, that's a bourbon finish, 100%. Yeah. And then I read the little description that comes with it, and it's like, we were toying around with our finishes, and we called this, I think you called it like Kentucky bourbon finish or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a true sampling of you just having some fun, landing on something that just suits the putter perfectly. And then, you know, running with it. So do you have a story to tell about that?
Yeah, well, as we were going through this, and this we got to work with the club, and specifically Kyle Kramer, who's the PGA professional there, who's just awesome. And when we talked about, you know, what are the things that you'd really like to pick up on it? And, you know, obviously it's the things that make Kentucky great. So Valhalla won. All the incredible championship moments that have happened there. So we needed to make sure that we captured some of the really cool things of the club, and I'll get into the details on that. Then obviously the state of Kentucky with the incredible bourbon history that it has and is creating today. And then, you know, the equestrian culture that's there. So how would we bring all of these things together and really kind of celebrate all of it? And to your point, just kind of have a little bit of a hidden nugget here or there that just, you know, if you, it's sort of one of those things where the closer you look, the more you find. Mm-hmm. And that part of creating a product is really, really fun for us.
Okay. Obviously we see the big tuna there, the beautiful milling pattern, which is, you know, as you know, one of my favorites. Yeah. What I found was interesting about this sampling was you went with the rather than having singular weights on the external portions, which we've seen a couple times, you've gone back to that sort of plate style where you can sort of isolate weight into the external portions of the putter. Was that right. Based on shifting the head shape to be a little bit elongated, heel yeah. to toe, or not heel to toe, but front to back? Is that what would have
both heel to toe and front to back, right?
Okay.
So, you know, a putter like this in our mind's eye sort of starts out its life as like a Chicago, right? The original Chicago, which was, you know, sort of a stubby wide blade. And lots of success with that one. But if we wanted to, make this perform at a different level, which meant we wanted to use as our sort of our shape study, we wanted to go off of a Santa Monica. That shape is just, it's really angular and it's really linear and it's really tailored. So if you look at the back bumpers there, you know, that's a really beautiful but simple design. And we felt, gosh, if we could make that a little bit bigger, a little bit longer toe to heel and a little bit wider front to back, we could really redefine performance on top of making it beautiful. Right. So this putter is really unique. Its inertia is over 5,400. It's actually close to 5,500. It's the most forgiving Toulon putter that we've made, including mallets, if you think about that. So if you think about, so how do you do that? Well, when you start to make a blade longer, that's really good for inertia. When you start to make it a little wider front to back, that's good for inertia. If you can sneak the weight up a little bit, and this one's somewhere between 355 and 360. I think it came in at 357. That helps you a little bit. But in order to do all of that, Dan, we had to remove mass from the sole, from the middle of the sole, which allows us to do everything. So if we were going to try to redefine performance in a blade style putter, we were going to have to go to multi-material, which we like to do anyway. So that's where the big sole plate came. Then it also opens up a canvas for us for really cool graphics.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I like when I see these putters is, and it's not so simple to see it from far away, but when you get close up, you can see these beautiful, subtle milling patterns, as you can see on the end of the putter here with a 904L stamping. Is there's a definite focus on quality and focus on precision, I think it looks like. That it makes a premium putter look more premium in my perspective. How much time do you put into thinking, well, let's just finish that off and not show anything there, or buff it out, or let those milling patterns really speak volumes to the precision that we put into our product?
Well, if we err in any one direction, it's going to be to showcase milling. Because that's what these are really all about, right? So, and mill marks are, they're tricky for people that might be new to milled putters, because we try to leave as many of the mill marks as we can. For a couple of reasons. One, the more you hand polish, the more you bring in variation from part to part, and the more you can change from the initial design intent. And we use 904L, and 904L is a capital B to machine. But you have to go really, really slow. When you can do that, so it stays on the machine for a long time, which was one reason why it's so expensive. The material is expensive to begin with, but when you do that, it creates these beautiful, really intricate mill patterns, and we want to keep those as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, it's beautiful, but you also fairly typically keep it hidden at a dress, so it's not a distraction when people are putting. I think that's another thing I really like, is you can see it a little bit in the cavity. You can definitely see it on the external portions, but and even on the sole as well, but as soon as you put it at a dress, it's just flush and clean, and you focus on alignment aid and ball, which I love.
Yeah.
I want to add one more question to this. As you're dancing around the small batch rabbit hole here, and each one has a different idea as to where the alignment aid should be. Like, you have options, flange, top line, top dot, whatever it might be. How do you land on that decision for each one?
It really depends on the putter itself.
Okay.
I think we've been, we like dots a lot, because they just feel a little bit more old school, a little bit more unique, but it depends on the product. This one, we almost went with a line in the flange, which I think would have been a good choice. But we wanted to make it feel, we like to create tension in a design, and the tension is, So if we on this one, it's sort of nostalgic, and it's, you know, sort of this, the whole Kentucky theme is sort of nostalgic. And we go back to that picture in a second, because I want to point out a couple of other things. But we also wanted to make it modern, right? So the idea of having a dot to me makes it a little bit more. So the theme here is really sort of modern nostalgia, and those two, thoughts are pretty diametrically opposed, but that's the tension that we like to try to create. So if we just go, I'll just blurt out a couple of things. Obviously the diamonds, that's inspired by a jockey silk. And when you start to read on jockey silks and sort of the rules behind them, they can only be, I think, two colors, can't be black. And, you know, so that was really cool. We chose the white and the blue, Kentucky for blue, and but that was kind of cool. The Toulon font is inspired by the font used for Churchill Downs. So that's a pretty cool nod to the whole equestrian thing. Then when you look at the bottom, one thing that I think is really cool. If you look underneath, obviously, the opposing thoroughbreds and the Valhalla logo, you can see a little watermark in the black. And when you watch the tournament, you'll see all of these limestone outcroppings all over the golf course, but specifically around the signature hole number 13. And that's meant to pay a pretty clever nod, I think, to the limestone from the area. So all of this stuff really comes together, and you know, we try to create a pretty cool package.
That is so subtle. I see it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. I want to ask you, as we're chipping away at small batch here, mm-hmm. do you have any stories about big time failures on either attempting a new finish or messing with a putter head to the point where it just flat out didn't work? You had to reset?
No, maybe 100 of them.
Is there a style or a finish that was just too extreme, that was too lofty to try and catch?
Well, we had one, how about yesterday, as we're planning something for the future, Tony and I, and so when we do these things, you know, Preston's involved, Tony's very involved, Toru is, Kamatari is very involved. He's a milled putter aficionado and great at it. But one of the things that we were looking at is, we were looking at an old 8802 and, you know, it's this one happened to be carbon steel and it's plated and it's bright chrome. And if you think of like a Zach Blair style, some of the putters he's gotten from Cameron that have been really, really bright, very blingy, beautiful to look at. And I think probably not that much fun to play with for glare. Tony would love to do one of those, and I would love to have him not do one of those. So,
those are the ones that are better sitting in a case without a shaft in it, eh?
They might be, but yeah. But you know, we may try one at some point, anyways. And but what is interesting about our business, Dan, on the small batches, yes, we have people that collect them, but I would say we have a way higher percentage of people that play them. Which is really cool. So I love both, but the fact that some of these are out there getting dirty makes me happy.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk a little bit about the 24 collection because it's quite prevalent, and I'll bring up the website again to just to show the head shapes to look at in this absolutely stunning. Is that a chocolate finish? Is that what you're calling that?
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you have like, looks like, you know, over 10 options. What has the landscape of the 24 finish look like for you so far?
Well, it's been incredible. And it's really interesting, because I would say probably now more than ever, tour is really influencing what's selling in the marketplace. And what we see happening, Dan, is more and more tour players going into mallets, and more tour players going into mallets with different hosel configuration. If you look at that one first run Alcatraz with the H1 neck, so think of Scotty Scheffler for and switching into a putter with a neck like that. Those have really taken off. Longer builds with heavier head weights, 380, we call heavy spec, but the Jailbird Cruiser, that kind of thing. There's been a massive influence from tour on those, and that's, we really see that. We still sell the mid mallets and we still sell the blades, but it's the bigger mallets, but particularly for us, Alcatraz in Las Vegas, that are selling like crazy.
Alcatraz is a great name, by the way. I call this the bottle opener.
Yeah, that's a fun one. That was named by Tony. That's a pretty cool one, and it's sort of, you know, it's got some Jailbird in it, which is a nod with the name, and it was really inspired by our Seattle product that we did, I think now about 4 or 5 years ago, which is really cool. So, anyways, so a bunch of different ideas have kind of come together to create that one.
So talking a bit more about the tour, and we can sort of hang on this image for a minute here, but Yeah, I feel like just using thought back, I feel like this Vegas style shape, the two prong sort of Vulcan death cruiser looking putter, yeah, has been the most common close to mallet style shape that's been used and sort of overly accepted. And there's that one incredibly popular one from Odyssey that the number seven that's been around for forever.
Yeah.
But it seems like more recently these shapes they're expanding. You see a lot of tour pros willingly going to shapes like the Alcatraz or, you know, something just simply larger. So you sort of made mention about the tour having a deep impact. Do you feel like, other than just knowing fully well that a mallet shape is easier to putt with overall for someone who might be incapable of hitting the same spot over and over and over again, but do you think their willingness on tour to experiment with different heads has opened the door for a willingness on the amateur side to
play? Yeah, absolutely it has, for sure. But I would say this, it's you know, mallets can be more forgiving than blades, but these larger blades. So if you look at New York City, New York City, of all of these products that you see, New York City and Alcatraz have almost the same inertia, in the low fives, about 5,400. Very, very forgiving. But I would say for most golfers, the reason to go with a mallet versus a blade is, they typically are much longer or wider front to back, which allows us to do more things for alignment. And, you know, I think a lot of people just will align a mallet better than they will a blade. But if you're a good aligner, which I'd say about 20% of the people are, you can putt with it whatever you want, right? But most people do struggle with alignment, which is where I think this mallet thing has really kind of taken off. And then, Dan, when you take mallets, which definitely are easier for most to align, and then you start to put these different hosels on it, whether it's a little slant, a flow, or our H1 hosel or a plumber's neck, now you can get these things to sort of toe flow more similarly or release a little bit more similarly to a blade. It starts to open up the door as to how many people it could fit.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, mallets have traditionally been more on the face balance side of things, and that can be fairly punishing for someone with a lot of arc in their putting stroke. So,
yeah, you
know, the ability to mess with necks, and I think you know what question I'm going to ask next is such a positive benefit to the golfer who not only is familiar with their stroke, but also is willing to go get fit for it and not fight the stroke they're given or the stroke they play with, but rather get a putter in play that makes it better overall.
Right.
It enhances it in a lot of ways. So I have a big question for you here, and I know it's probably too early because you are dropping so many things, but you know, Toulon Garage has always been a staple of the conversation, especially on the THP forums. There was a love and appreciation for the ability to go and do whatever the hell you wanted for the most part, and then pick a finish and all those things. So where does Toulon Garage fit into all this? Is there room for it?
Yeah, there is. We just have to pick, you know, the right time for us to be able to do it, execute it really well, right? To really, for us to be able to match a pretty high level of expectation. And that is the quality of the finished product and getting it out in a timely manner to people and making sure we've got the proper options. So that's all stuff that's in the works. And I'm going to hesitate to give a timeline for it, but it's something that we will do for sure. I don't want to bite off more than we can right now, but we're working on it.
So when it comes down to something like that, how much freedom do you think you'll allow? Like, let's say someone comes and says, Sean, I really want a chocolate finish on my putter head, but I want the hosel to be a long neck that's shiny chrome finish. And, you know, I want a sight dot and I want it to be this certain weight. Like, are you going to let people go nuts or do you think you're going to have to reel it back just a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know yet. I don't think we have any answers for that yet.
Okay.
And it where we are geographically here in Southern California, and I'm sitting in my office, and I would say this is sort of the boutique putter maker center of the universe, right? So around here are different places for machining and different places for finishing, and a PVD house nearby. So there's a lot of capability just in this area that either we have or we have access to. So we just now need to figure out what does it all look like, and you know, what do we really feel comfortable biting off and making sure we can execute at a really, really high level.
Okay.
Because I don't want to disappoint people. So, and that's either with a quality of product, a lack of options, or a really long timeline, or a crazy stupid price point. And so we're wading through all of that. It's a lot.
I'm just waiting for the option to show up on the website of come build with Sean, where you can go and do a one-on-one build with you, and you know, that'd be a lot of fun. But so I am curious about the tour, because we mentioned it a little bit, and how that grows nationwide or even internationally. What does tour look like for you guys now, and how much attention are you paying to the folks on tour who are curious about the product still?
Or even more? We haven't so much so far this year, and we're so. What we focused on this year is trying to execute as much of that plan that I laid out to you last July, right? So it's, gosh, think about that. It's 9 months ago. And making sure that we could do as much of that as we could, and that we, you know, we started the company from, you know, from zero. So we had to go get a building and hire people and buy office furniture and backroom equipment, you know. So somebody said, well, what does your day look like? And if, when we were starting out building a website and, you know, all the stuff you got to do, I said, it feels like every day starts out with a 4-hour meeting at the DMV. And it's just like, you know, if I could, I almost started smoking cigarettes so I could put them out in my eyes. Because it's just like the stuff you have to go through, which we've done before, right? Tony's been a part of doing it before. Preston's been a part of doing it before. My dear wife, Kathy, has been a part. But it's, you know, it's a lot, right? So let's get that done. Let's get it so we can design and build and satisfy our great customers with incredible products, and let's just make sure we can operate and do it well, and then begin to layer on complexity slowly, which I will tell you, in the past, I have sucked at, because I have bit off more than I probably should, and pushed everybody probably too hard, too fast. So I think I'm very, very proud of what we've done together as a group and a small team. And I think we need to really focus on that. Second part of it, to your question, is does tour play an important role? Yeah, it does. It does. And we'll start to dabble more and more in that. But we're not going to go out there and fight, to get 32 putters in play, and so we'll take a different tact and have a different strategy, which I don't really want to expound upon right now, but we definitely will have a strategy on how we do that and how we can use that, A, to learn, and then B, to help support a growing business.
Okay. But what about the push for the international adoption of the product? It's no secret that there are certain groups or areas out there in the world that are very passionate about your style of putter, and mm-hmm. is there intent to grow elsewhere, or are you very much organically allowing that to just be word of mouth?
Well, we did start out with it being organically and word of mouth, and one of the things I spoke with our team, which is Tony and Preston, and in particular, Toru Kamatari, who's, you know, he launched Cameron in Japan 25 years ago, Bettinardi in Japan 20 years ago and Toulon Design 10 years ago, right? And it's kind of hard to believe that in 2025, we're going to be celebrating our 10th anniversary as a brand. So that's pretty cool. But so we didn't start and go out and solicit business. Our thinking was, let's just get started, make sure that we can execute, make sure that these products that we are creating are as beautiful as we envisioned they could be, the quality amazing. And like I said earlier, we do hundreds of things. We don't do thousands of anything, right? So let's just make sure we can do that. And then let's see, you know, who calls. And we've had a lot of calls. So Japan, we have a wonderful partner there. And we now have a wonderful partner in Korea, and we're just getting started there. We have a wonderful partner just getting started in throughout all of Europe. And are in talks with different parts around the world. So that's all good. And we'll just go slow and make sure that we can execute for our good friends and partners.
That's pretty exciting. I got to tell you, as it grows and grows, I don't love the idea that it's going to be more competitive trying to get one of these beautiful putters, but you know, it's exciting to know that product is expanding its reach. It's a great thing. I also noted there's a little bit more activity on the head cover front, on the grip front. You see some different colors coming out. I see a few different versions of Canadam blue in there, which is great to see. I assume there's been a focus to get high quality product on that side of things so people can customize the way they like.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So, number one was let's get our putters developed. Let's get these things made and tested and to the point where we're really proud of what we're selling, and, you know, and it's a really simple mantra for us: always do work that you're proud of. Right. And, you know, are we doing things that we can put in front of golfers where the golfer always comes first and just say, hey, you know what? I think we really did satisfy our mission here. So that's cool. Now, how do we take that mindset, Dan, and begin to apply it to different things? And head covers can be cool. We've got a different brand vibe than, say, Swag. So I think you'll see us do some things that are going to be really cool and really fun, but in our own sort of design language. And we've got some pretty cool things that we're very close to launching. And then the grip part of our business, I think, can be interesting because, I mean, there are literally now worldwide tens of thousands of Toulon putters out there over the last 10 years. And, you know, so for us to offer some really cool ways to, you know, update what you've got or, you know, become part of our little family here, maybe not for $600, but for $40 or something like that. That's pretty cool. And we want, you know, we want to take good care of people that have trusted us over the years.
Okay. As we wrap up, I have a couple hard-hitting questions for you. Ready for them?
I'm so ready.
Okay. The first question I have is of all the putter heads that you've created, especially more specifically, let's limit it to 24 collection and small batch in total. What is your favorite and design, the one you're maybe most proud of?
There's three. Can I go with three?
Because it's you, I'm going to allow it.
Alcatraz is really cool. Because that, and I know a lot of people would look at it and just say, well, it's just a jailbird. When you look at it next to a jailbird, I would tell you it's absolutely not just a jailbird, right? So it's a mix of a lot of different ideas that have come together, but really, came from our Seattle design, which, was a struggle to get right, whatever that was 6 years ago. But then to make that sort of modernize that and make it, really sound and feel and perform at a level that it does, check. That one is just awesome. I love our Austin, which is the one that I'm using. It's just beautiful and simple and clean, but it's sort of like that Valhalla. The more you look at it, the more you just see these cool little things that we did that just bring it all together. And it's one of those things, Dan, for me, when I look at it, and I go like, holy shit, I want this. That in Austin does that for me. And the other one that does that for me too is New York City. For a bigger putter, that's a pretty intricate shape. That one, I look at it and go, damn, I could put this in the bag like right now. So those would be my three.
Okay. favorite finish you've done so far?
Two.
So we've whittled it down from three to two. We're getting more finite.
No, I mean, I like them all. And yeah, we have some new ones that nobody's seen that will come up in some future small batches that I think people are going to really like. But the chocolate finish has been just awesome. That's really cool. And we're working on variations of that, which I think will be pretty interesting. And then the blue people have loved, because that's just such a beautiful, deep color on that sea island. It's a beautiful putter to begin with. The shape is great. Kind of a oversized Palm Beach, if you will, with some pretty cool differences. But that blue, I think, has been a home run.
Okay. And then favorite small batch that you've done so far?
Oh, I love them all. But I think this Valhalla is a really, really cool one, because it was very challenging to get that shape to really feel balanced in a little bit oversized putter that performs like, I mean, it's crazy. The inertia on that's off the charts. So, but if I had to just pick one that I think the artistic execution of, dang it, I would actually pick two. Dogwood, which I think is really cool, okay, and Montecito. If you told me you can only have one, I would pick Montecito.
Okay. So actually the first couple that you did, which is kind of cool, and yeah, I mean, I think back to the early days of putter customization and that little, I think they called it like snow is what you'd say when you just stamp the dots on the top. That was right, like a very popular thing to do on bumpers back in the day.
Yeah,
before you had all this fancy machining and goofy stuff you can do.
Yeah.
So that's the vibe I got from that one. It's like that old custom style customization. That's pretty awesome. I'd love for you to give some recommendations to folks out there, just basically on they're struggling with their putter, they've not really done anything to change it, they've gone to their local golf shop and rolled a few and didn't really solve anything. What is your recommendation for the golfer who really wants to refine their putting game today?
Go see somebody. And there are so many good ones now. So finally, putter fitting is becoming mainstream. I spoke to two that are world-class at it. Steven Sweeney is a good friend, and I would say is one of the top, if not the top putter instructors on the PGA Tour. And just the things that you can learn from somebody like that. And he's got studios now. He's beginning to, you know, pop up across the country. But if you can go see Steven Sweeney or one of his instructors to really learn about your putting stroke, and then figure out what type of putter either enhances what you have or helps change it in the proper way. Amazing. I talked on the phone to another good friend. He's in Memphis. His name is Scott Felix, and he has got building the most incredible putting studio I think that will be on the planet, that opens in about 2 weeks. And it's amazing. So you can just learn so much about it. And anybody can be a great putter, right? You don't have to be tall, dark, handsome, fast, strong. You don't have to be any of that. You can be like you and me, Dan, and we could be good putters, right? With just a few things. I'm not saying you're not tall, dark, and handsome, but but you know, you don't have to be gifted a certain way. You just have to be able to move, you know, right, and aim, sure, and but you can learn all of that. So it definitely can be a learned skill. So spend some time doing that, and make sure then you get into a putter that really helps that.
Yeah, I actually had a debate with my 8-year-old. I never felt smarter. He pulled out his one of his clubs from his bag. He's like, "Oh, this is the one I hit the most," and I held out his putter. I said, "What about this one?" he looks at me and he was getting ready to argue and he's like, oh yeah, you're right, daddy. And for 5 seconds, I thought I was the smartest guy alive. But you know, that's one thing that I think people really discount is you can go get a driver fitting that you use 14 times as opposed to getting a putter fitting, which you probably use ideally less than 30 times if you're really getting it done. So, I mean, double that number, most situations is the amount of times you use it as compared. So, you know, the idea that, sure, you can chase the prettiest putter with whatever, but, you know, getting that fitting and getting into a position where your putter can enhance your ability is I think, a great conversation starter. So I appreciate that feedback there.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So that about wraps it up today. Sean, it's always a privilege to have you on and super fun to talk through your concepts and ideas that have gone into Toulon so far. With Valhalla dropping this week, I'm really looking forward to having the conversation on THP with everyone talking about that putter and ideally having some fun thinking about what's next now that you've dropped the we're experimenting discussion on us all. And we're excited, man. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. And thanks to the whole community too. We actively study the things that are on there and we learn a lot. So, we have a lot of great customers that are on the forums too, and we appreciate all of that. So, thanks so much, Dan.
Great. Hey, if you guys are golfing this week, have a great time. Make it count. Go check out Toulon Putters if you want to make your game look better and play better. We'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.